We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Christmas and one for Epiphany. And we'll send you this new CD for any size year-end donation. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift before the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
Having gays in the military does not hurt the military. It improves the military. It adds to recruitment possibilities.
There are definitely some pretty strong views within the chaplain community. I would not for a minute assume that if the law were repealed, every single chaplain would stay in the military. We should assume that we may lose some of our chaplains.
That's why families everywhere are taught to place the menorah in public view so the entire world can see its light. As the Talmud teaches us, so long as a person still has life, they should never abandon faith.
If that's what you're looking for, is a church in which I am going to have nothing but happy thoughts and be given a positive image of myself, and that's all I want to hear, then repentance is a buzzkill.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
You don't have to go very far from the apostolic age to find things getting very difficult. They were already difficult during the time of the apostles, but very difficult for Christians. And the list of martyrs is long, many of them anonymous, but some of them remembered. In spite of how little we may know about the martyrs themselves, their martyrdoms speak volumes, even if the martyrs themselves are relatively anonymous. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in on this Monday afternoon, December the 13th. We're going to be talking about 4th century martyr St. Lucia, remembered on this day by the church. Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest. A little bit later in this hour of the program, Dr. Gene Edward Veith will join us. The movie The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, the third in the Narnia series of books and films, is out. Dr. Veith has seen it. We'll see what he has to say in the second part of this hour of Issues Etc. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's a regular guest here on Issues Etc. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be here, Todd.
We're talking here about the very beginning of the 4th century. And if you were to take a picture at the beginning of the 4th century and a picture at the end of the 4th century, you would find two very different circumstances for Christians and for the church. What was it like at the beginning?
Right. Well, Diocletian comes to power in the 280s. And he's a very interesting character. He's, he is, of course, toward the end of his reign, going to fiercely attack the church, blame Christianity for the problems of the Roman world. He's going to buy into this rhetoric to make the church a useful scapegoat, saying that the decline that he presided over in Roman power was actually the fault of these Christians who were leading the people away from the Roman gods, who had led us to great victories and so forth. And that's where his persecution comes from. So if you say it begins sometime in the year 303 to 305, are usually the dates given, it's the biggest empire-wide persecution against the church. And so it's terrible. All those images of soldiers, you know, breaking into churches and demanding copies of the scriptures, you know, that they be handed over, neighbors accusing people of being Christians so that they can get their property, because part of the Roman law system is if you bring a charge against somebody and they're convicted of a capital crime, you get a certain percentage of their property and the rest goes to the state. And so it's a terrible, scary time.
And how exactly, I mean, it's not as, even though Roman emperors were very powerful men, how exactly did he rationalize this for the Roman people, for especially for the other leaders of the Roman world?
Right, well, like I said, he presides over this time. I mean, there's war with the Persians There's breakdown, a further breakdown in the economy caused by the imperial taxation system and rampant inflation and everything else. And it's very comparable to the National Soviets in Germany movie against Jews in the 30s, blaming Germany's problems on that minority group. Diocletian manages to blame the downfall, the falling fortunes of Rome on Rome's on this minority, this large minority of Christians who are turning the empire away from Rome's gods.
So it was largely a political move.
Absolutely. Diocletian is an interesting character. He is a genius politically, and if it weren't for this whole attacking the church thing, he'd be viewed as one of the best emperors ever. He came up with a rational system for the peaceful transition of power. He is one of the few Roman emperors who ever abdicated and died in peace in his palace in what is today split Croatia. He spent his retirement breeding cabbages. There's actually a great short story about Diocletian called The Last God's Dream by the famous Roman Catholic thinker, philosopher, and ghost story writer, Russell Kirk.
Okay, so it was a political expediency. Religion and politics were closely intertwined in Roman thinking, and essentially the Christians were viewed as atheist and unpatriotic?
Yeah, you got it. Yep.
So where does little Lucia fit into all of this?
Right. Well, she is from the island of Syracuse, and she was a Christian girl in the early 4th century, and the details are kind of fuzzy. A lot of historians kind of doubt a lot of this, but I think it's fair to say that the core of the story is true, and that core of the story is this. There's a Christian girl. She wants to dedicate her life to a life of virginity and service in the church. Somehow she gets betrothed to a pagan. She refuses to marry him. This makes him very angry, and so he denounces her to the authorities as a Christian, and so at least he's going to get the dowry. If he can't have her, he'll at least have the dowry. And then she is tortured. Eventually, her eyes are put out. The classic iconography of Saint Lucia is she's carrying her eyes on a platter, and so she gives her life in this classic story of confessing Christ and going down in martyrdom. From there, her name is picked up in the very early prayers of the church called the Roman Canon. The Canon of the Mass includes what names of saints are named within the service of Holy Communion, and hers is one of the early ones. And from Rome, being the most important city in the medieval church, that spreads all over Christian Europe. And then her life story is obviously very inspiring, and it especially gets in a very interesting way, becomes very popular in Northern Europe and Scandinavia, because her name means light, Lucy, Lucia, Lux from Latin, Lux for light. And the day that she's honored is December 13th, which until 1582 was the shortest day of the year before Pope Gregory corrected the calendar. December 13th, not December 22nd, is the shortest day of the year. So you have Saint Light commemorated on the day when there's the least amount of light, and it becomes the celebration of the light of Christ, of turning the corner on the year. You know, from here on out, the days are getting longer. Easter and springtime, are on the way. And so it becomes a great celebration, one of these classic incorporations of the celebration of nature and life into the life of the church.
What did virginity mean in the first centuries of the church's life?
It's something that we as modern Lutherans really need to rethink. You know, our confessions, the Book of Concord, we confess in there that celibacy, a life of virginity dedicated to service to God, is a higher calling than marriage. And that is something that we don't spend a lot of time talking about, and I think it impoverishes us. A life dedicated to celibacy, to virginity, in essence, skips the image of Christ's love for the church, which is marriage, skips the image for the reality. People who have the gift of being able to live a life of celibacy and dedication to service to God are participating in a very special way in the coming kingdom of Christ, whereas Jesus says there will be no marriage or giving in marriage. And so it is a very high and special calling, and yet in the modern Western world, modern Western Lutheranism, we're kind of uncomfortable talking about it, which is too bad, because we have a lot of celibate clergy in the Missouri Synod. There's a guy in my circuit, a wonderful guy, dedicated his whole life to service in the church. There's a layman in my congregation who consciously made that decision when he was serving in England in World War II, that he was going to dedicate his life to service in the church as a layman and never get married. That's a high calling, and it should be applauded and encouraged. And instead, since we kind of don't know how to talk about it because we kind of, I don't know, we're afraid of monasticism or something, we're really missing out on honoring a high gift of God.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Lucy on this St. Lucy's Day. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. We're talking about 4th century martyr St. Lucia. She has a little crown of lights associated with her, as well as, I guess, a rather tasty recipe of bread or cakes. Find out a little bit more about that with Pastor Heath Curtis right after this.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
The Word Made Flesh, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Had this God not come in human flesh, would we ever know the true God? The true God is only known in the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2010.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're talking about 4th century martyr St. Lucia. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. Heath, before the break, you talked about virginity. Before we get to the more quaint aspects of the celebration of this day having to do with St. Lucia, Talk about what martyrdom was in the early church.
Yeah, of course, I mean, right from the beginning, literally from the beginning in the book of Acts, we have someone killed for his faith, St. Stephen, killed for confessing who Christ is. And so from the earliest days, dying because you're a Christian, you know, being killed for your faith was a very living, very real part of the church. In the modern Western world, not so much for us, but throughout the world today, in the 20th and 21st centuries, still a lot of Christian martyrdom. And it was very highly honored because, of course, in a way that not all of us directly participate in, the martyrs directly participate in the story of Jesus, in laying down their life for the sake of the truth of the gospel. And so that is and so from very early on, the martyrs are honored in their memory, in the church's memory, in the church's prayers, so that their example of faith is lifted up for all of us to look to and remember.
Now, I'm trying to picture St. Lucy's Day at the Curtis household, full of children. You probably got a spare little daughter around there someplace that's supposed to wear a crown of candles and walk around waking up everybody with her St. Lucy's cake. Do you guys go that far?
Yeah, we're getting close. You know, our oldest daughter's getting a little older. We're not quite ready to put flaming candles on her head, but maybe next year. But yeah, we do the St. Lucy's buns, and I think Jeff can link to the recipe again. They're super good, and it worked out great this year. We had school off because of it was too cold to stand at the bus stop. And just a great day to kind of be together and to have these traditions. Any tradition that you can bring into your household that links the rest of your week back to Sunday, back to church, to teach your kids that religion is not just something that happens 1 hour on Sunday morning and come Lord Jesus before supper and the Our Father and the Creed before bedtime. No, if you actually make this part of your life, you know, it teaches them that this is real, you know, that this is not a compartment of life, but that this is that this is who we are in relation to God. That this religion stuff is for real, and so it's to the point now where our older kids, and they look forward to St. Martin's Day and the stuff we do on that day. They look forward to St. Lucy's Day and the stuff we do on that day. They look forward to the, each one of them has a middle name from church history. They look forward to their saint's day. And so any of that stuff that you can do to bring the liturgical, rhythmic living of the church's life into your home, that's the kind of stuff that sticks with the kids, that they're going to remember their whole life, that's going to form their Christianity, and it's going to form their spiritual practice that's going to last then on down through the generations. These kind of celebrations that are in the home, those are the things that stick. If you look at the secular world loves Christmas trees. You know, it's those kind of wonderful celebrations that stick even in spite of unbelief.
Finally, then, since we're dealing with Lucy, and then there's another saint here, Agatha, all we know is where she lived. We know nothing else. Speak, if you would, about the value in these cases of kind of a almost anonymity of the people we remember here, that they're real people, that they certainly had names and can be remembered thus, but the value of perhaps a bit of anonymity when it comes to the saints we remember.
Yeah, absolutely, because each and every one of us, you know, St. Paul's favorite term for Christians is saints. Each one of us is called to be that holy person, redeemed by Christ. And most of us are going to live very anonymous lives. You know, 1,700 years from now, if our Lord should delay his return, they'll still be talking about St. Lucy, but they probably won't be talking about St. Todd and St. Heath, and that's fine, because the whole cloud of witnesses, those who are known only to God and the angels, they are also saints of Christ. And so when we remember these anonymous saints, that is an additional encouragement to us that we too are redeemed by Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, baptized, cleansed. We belong to him, and we will share eternity with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Happy St. Lucie's to you and to yours, Heath.
Back at you.